This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Preston's report card.
Ravens Lou, the heartbreaker, 18-16 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Joining us right now, the professor is in, Mike Preston. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, man. Doing well.
Good.
ravens lose 18-16. First of all, we'll get to that last. So let's go in order. Quarterback Lamar Jackson, what did you give him?
I gave him a C-. You know, performance not very good. Got pressured. You got to give the Steelers credit. They got some guys up front, and they can rush forward sometimes, and they chase them. But there were some decisions he made that were just very poor. Throwing back across in the middle of the field. One time he threw a pass when he was out of bounds. I don't know what was going on that two-point conversion pass, but not a good day for Lamar overall. Just didn't have it, and it happens. You know, you look at the overall body of work, pretty impressive, but not yesterday.
Mike, I know you're there. One of the things they talked on the broadcast was, like, all the other numbers weren't great. But his ADOT, he was pushing the ball downfield. They were going for big plays, but I guess that's all you had in that game when they to look at it.
I mean, he had a couple big plays, and there were like a couple of shoestring tackles that the Steelers made that brought guys down. But overall, no. I mean, he got sacked twice, got hit six times, and just made some bad decisions. There were two times when I watched the game that he had receivers wide open and he missed them for whatever reason.
Yep.
Just didn't have a good day.
Mike, running backs.
Oh, man. This is one of the few times that I thought Derrick Henry could carry the ball more than 13 times.
Yep.
You know, and I'm
especially
like,
when he's averaging 5 yards a carry.
Yeah, I mean, and just take away the one run, 30-some yards or whatever it was, 17 yards. I thought they could just go and pound these guys a little bit.
31
more.
Yards, actually, yeah.
Yeah, it just keep getting after him. And they kind of got away from it a little bit too soon for me.
And why wouldn't he be on the field for the two-point conversion? I mean, you need 2 yards. You got a guy who's averaging 5 yards a carry. You need two. Put him record on the field. Even his decoys, just the threat
that?
Of it. And he's
that?
Not even on the field.
Nope. That didn't make any sense to me. You know, you got to put him out there just to keep those linebackers home.
Yeah.
And if you're going to run Lamar, I probably would have ran him to the wide side, not to the short side.
Yeah.
But again, maybe they thought they had better numbers on the short side. I didn't see it. I mean, Joey Porter, give him credit, came up, made the play. But Justice Hill, when you put him in the game, that says pass to me.
Yeah, well, so the numbers were in their favor because they had 6 Steelers on that side of the field and the Ravens had 0 wide receivers. So it was going to work out. We figured. So worst play call by Todd Monken so far.
So was that supposed to be a pass?
I think it had to be.
Oh, yeah.
It had to be because there's, like Lamar said, it was a run, but the way it's blocked, there's no way that that's solely a run. There should have been an option of someone dragging across the back of the field or the front of the end zone to give him something.
All right, because the first time they come out in the 2-point on that play, and I thought he was going to run the football, just tuck and go up in the middle. But then Tomlin calls a timeout, and they go back and reset, and then he goes to the left. Now, on the first play when he showed it, was that supposed to be the pass?
That was going to be a jump pass.
On the way home.
It looked like.
Yeah, that's what we kept hearing. But, you know, when I saw the formation and Lamar tucked, I thought he was going to run. And run right up in that gap, right over right guard, tackle somewhere in there. But then when they came in, called a timeout, I said, oh, Tomlin got a look. And then they run it to the left, to the short side, and I'm like, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't get that. And I guess that's a question to ask today. You go out there.
Go offensive line.
D. McCary, and you could see Lindebaum, dinner. They're getting a little frustrated with Lamar as when they can release and when not to release. Because they're jawing a little bit. Like, you got to run, you got to take off, you got to give us a signal. And usually quarterbacks have a call. There's some kind of call, gold, red, whatever, release. I don't know if the Ravens have one, but they got called 2 or 3 times for a legal guy downfield. And I don't know what's going on there. But you can't have those. And these penalties, what did they have, 12 for 80 yesterday?
Something
like that. When you're starting 1st and 15, 1st and 20, that's not a good play.
What about receivers, Mike?
You know, they were okay. I gave them a C, but, you know, can't have a ball hit you in the face mask when your chest and you got your hands down around your ankles. I don't understand that. I dropped one. It was not a great day for receivers. Andrews, what did he have? 2 catches for like 18 yards?
22.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. And I'm looking for them to take advantage of Pittsburgh with their tight end, but it didn't happen, guys. So I gave them a C.
Defensive line,
I gave them a C-. Not a great day for them, but not a bad day. But I still want to see more pressure. I still want to see Madubuike step up his game. I'm not saying he's playing poorly, but he's not playing to the level that I thought he was going to play once he got that big contract, that he would take over and dominate games. Linebackers, I gave them a C+. I thought they're outside guys. He played against a rookie, and he played like a rookie. Number 77 wasn't very good. But he did what he had to do, 2.5 sacks. The one of the turning points in this game, and I give it to Mike Tomlin, is when Roquan Smith went out of that game with the hamstring, he pounded them inside. Did right inside. And I'm like, that's a coach. That's a smart coach right there, because he knows Malik Harrison on the inside. I don't think so, Scooter. I'm going to run right at these guys. And he did. And it started paying off because you could see the Ravens starting to wear down a little bit. But overall, I gave him a C+. Secondary, didn't give up any big plays except for the one to Pickens down the sideline, which was 37 yards. And that was on our favorite guy, Brandon Stevens. But for the most part, they hung. They got White out there, young guy. I mean, not young guy, but a little older guy, experienced guy. I would have called him for that second pass interference. But for the most part, I gave him a C+. That's the highest grade I've given him all year.
What about special teams?
He missed 2 field goals. Enough said. Jordan Stout bailed him out. He had like 6 punts. He was averaging like 56 yards a punt. That one for 70 yards.
Yeah.
But Tucker, you missed an extra point the week before. You missed 2 field goals.
What about coaching, Mike?
Is that kicker out there? Oh, God. Dude. Derrick Henry didn't touch the ball enough.
It's like my wife asking me to do the dishes.
In a close game. In a close game, Mike.
I know. I know that the penalties, the two-point conversion play, they get a D, and the only thing that saves them is Zach Orr finally did his job this week as far as coordinator. they get a D. Okay. And guys, I'm being gracious. How do you lose to a team? You let them kick six field goals and you lose.
Yeah,
that's bad news. And, you know, and we can say whatever we want. The Steelers have punked the Ravens.
They have.
They've won 8 out of the last 9. Weird stuff happens. That's in your brain. And Lamar said it after the game. I don't know if you guys heard that sound bite, but it's in there. Where he talks about mentally, we come out, we try too hard, whatever. And when you admit that, you've been punked. And they need to change that. That has to change.
Mike, thanks a lot, man. We'll get back with you at 9:30. Good with that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's Mike Preston, the professor, Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. We can find his report card. 410-583-1057 is the number. This is the sound bite that Mike Preston was talking about.
Yeah, if anything, we just be too hype. At the beginning, you know, because I believe when we settle down, we start making things happen. You know, and in this type of game, it's a momentum game. It was swinging for both teams, and those guys had the best swing at the end.
Yeah, basically. More fan reaction at 8:30, but on the other side, we're going to review that guy, Lamar Jackson's performance against the Steelers yesterday on the Fan.
Jackson's going to get it.
Two.
Jackson throws.
Baltimore's top single caller perform.
I believe, you know, we had a lot of slow starts, if anything, you know, a lot of penalties, 3 turnovers, stuff like that we can't have in these type of games. This environment, known as a divisional game, that's still a Raven rivalry, it's the one who have more possession of the ball and keeping it safe. And we didn't do a good job at that.
And we did not do a good job at that. Yeah. Baltimore Ravens with a loss yesterday, 18-16. Defense giving up 6 field goals. I feel like the defense really played a really good game, Ed, yesterday. Offense not getting it done, turning the football over, 2 fumbles, interception. Fumble on the first possession of the game by Derrick Henry. Just not what you expect from a Baltimore Ravens offense.
No, and it's, you know, it sounds so trite. Like on a Friday before the game, what do we always discuss? What are the keys to the game?
Yeah.
What do the Ravens have to do? Whatever. This is what you have to do is not turn the ball over and not be, and make, you know, dumb penalties and dumb mistakes because they're extraordinarily costly. And they did all that. I mean, like I say, 2 fumbles, a pick that wasn't really, I mean, that wasn't Lamar's fault, certainly. That was an outstanding defensive play. I'll give them that. But they still turned the ball over. 3 batted passes, you know, 2 missed field goals, 12 penalties. It's like, gosh, guys. And by the way, your defense didn't allow them in the end zone, and you still lose the game. And I still can't forgive the coaching staff for that 2-point conversion debacle. That I don't understand how that happens, man. I just don't. And how do you not have Derrick Henry on the field and Pat Ricard? If you don't want to hand the ball because you want to get cute, you don't want to be. I still believe you can't get 2 yards with 550 pounds of running back. I don't get it. But okay, you don't want to do that because they'll stack the box and put all their big guys up there too. All right. Make them pay attention to those coup. Have the defense flow that way as you're going, you know, maybe you go to the right side. You have Ricard leading Henry to the right and Lamar just goes left. Something like this. It just,
well, so many
everything
things
was wrong.
So many things were wrong with it. Not only were their players not going in the right direction, if it was a straight run, I don't understand why you would actually block the one of the pass rushers towards where the quarterback is going.
And go short side.
And then you don't have anybody coming across, and on top of it, you're running to the short side of the field, like you're talking about. And if you wanted to give Lamar more space to maneuver, aren't you going to send him to the wide side? And I understand, too, like, oh, does the defense think we're going to the wide side? Let's go to the short side. I get all that. But in a 2-point conversion, I think they totally overthought it. Put Derrick Henry in the game. Play action pass. Or run the football with them. That's it.
Okay, so this is where I'm going to go since we're talking about Lamar here, because Lamar can't be absent of criticism. Did you have Derrick Henry on the field before the timeout?
Did they? No, because they were going to do the jump pass. Play.
No.
Yeah, I think it was Justice Hill back then.
Okay,
here,
so we've seen with quarterbacks who have the clout that he has, why isn't he asking for Derrick Henry on the field or Pat Ricard on the field? Quarterbacks have done that before. It's one thing you come out of the huddle, you don't have them. Now you have a timeout. So now you have extra time to demand this.
Yeah.
You have extra time. Listen, coach, I get what you're calling, but let's go with Ricard and Henry. That's number one. Number two, he had a wide open, I believe it was Zay Flowers on the left sidelines, but he overthrew him by about 12 yards. He was wide open. Lamar had a bad game yesterday as a passer. He was 16 of 33. No, Ed, the interception was not his fault. But that's one of 17 incompletions. That's one of 17 incompletions. He had more incompletions than completions yesterday in a huge game where you're trying to get first place for the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road. He's not void of criticism. He's not void of blame in this game yesterday. There are times where he's a victim. Yesterday, he was not.
So Chris Mack, who we had on the show on Thursday, we were messaging throughout the first and second quarter. He goes, are you shocked at all the deep balls both teams are taking on third and short? Like, they were chucking the football down the field. And I know they said Russell Wilson doesn't care if it's third and inches. If he sees a one-on-one matchup right, and he likes it, he's going to take his chance with it. And I understand that. But it did feel like they were taking a lot of shots downfield on each other.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. But most times you see that when teams have nothing. Like the Bengals did it yesterday. Because they have a losing record. They're playing a very good team. So, you know what? We're going to keep going to the Jamar Chase all the way down the field every time on third down.
Why not?
Third and one. Yeah, we're going long.
Tell him you're going there and he's still going to catch it.
Yeah.
So, like looking at Lamar, I don't think he's devoid of criticism. I just think it should be just when it's there. I've seen people say, hey, you can't give him all the credit and then none of the blame when they lose. That's fine. But also, the guy's thrown three interceptions that you could make a case that none of them were his fault this year.
I understand that, but yesterday he was 16 of 33. He's the MVP of the season. If I had an MVP vote, even after yesterday, he'd get it. But yesterday, he wasn't good enough.
That's fine. I mean, I think you can have that take, and I'm not disagreeing with that. I just think a lot of goofy things happen in that game, too. I mean, Derrick Henry doesn't fumble. He fumbled. You call the play, and again, knowing where you're at on the field, I like the fact that you're trying to be aggressive for your offense, but when you're on your 9-yard line, 10-yard line, why are you even doing anything but kneeling on the ball and going into the half at that point? Take your chance with the timeout. See where the punt goes. Maybe it goes out of bounds. Maybe you block it. Maybe you get a good return or a penalty.
I could talk about Justin Tucker. I could talk about Cole. I could talk about a lot of people. But this right now, I'm talking reviewing Lamar Jackson's game. And Lamar Jackson yesterday, you got to be better. In games like that, you've got to be better. Justin Tucker, we talk about him. Missed two field goals. You make the longest. You missed the other two. Is that a focus problem? Is that in your head? A lot of things you can say about that. You're right. Derrick Henry fumbling the football. We talk about why Derrick Henry only has 13 carries, which is atrocious for a game like that. It's a low-scoring, close football game, and Derrick Henry has 13 carries. He should have 13 carries in the half.
Why do we keep having these conversations? There's one constant. There's one constant. And you guys can say whatever the hell you want.
What is it? Who you guys?
It's Harbaugh.
Okay.
If it's not Harbaugh, then get on Munkin.
I'll beat you to it.
No, if I'm standing on the sideline.
It happened before Munkin, though. It happened before Munkin, Jeremy. We had the same complaints of every offensive coordinator.
It's the same. I mean, look.
Insert coordinator. The one thing that Munkin gives you is when you're out of his way, he's pretty good. He's the best one we've had since Kubiak.
Oh, I think he's great. I think it was a terrible 2-point conversion call, but it's easy. Like, watching it in the moment, I'm going, what is this play? Is this a run or a pat? Is it anything? Was he supposed to throw it with the opposite hand going across?
You sound like the guy on That 70s Show. What is this play?
What is this?
Bite me at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, I want to hear from you. 410-583-1057 is the number. Monday Morning Quarterback, presented by Catholic Charities of Maryland on The Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for your takeaways.
Call or text 410-583-1057.
A.M. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show, Monday morning quarterback. Thinking your calls. Let's go out to Baltimore, get Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
All right. I don't want to, I've been on hold for a while, so I don't want to keep saying the same thing over. But that two-punt conversion thing, I mean, he was channeling Greg Roman there. I mean, all he had to do was keep it simple. I mean, with Henry not being out there in return, I don't know what that was about. But I was proud of the offense, man. Proud of the defense. Yeah. You know, they wore down a little bit late, but I was proud of the defense. But this is on the offense, the terrible penalties and just the execution. And I was thoroughly disappointed.
Yeah, me too, man. I ain't gonna lie to you, Mike. It was just a disappointing showing. You know, for your defense to give up six field goals and the offense just not have anything for them, not very good. Antonio, what's going on, man?
How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm okay. Good. Why did the Ravens offense have trouble scoring against the Steelers defense? Have a wonderful day, guys.
You have a wonderful day as well. I think a lot of it was self-inflicted.
Was self-inflicted.
And I'm taking nothing away from the Steelers. I think it was self-inflicted.
No. I mean, look, the Steelers have a good football team. But I still don't think, after seeing a game yesterday, that they're in the top, you know, the top echelon where you talk about the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens. And I don't know if the Ravens can be in that conversation.
They're just solid everywhere. There's nothing special about them. You know?
Right.
But
that's important.
The wrong way.
Yeah, but it's important. Well, balance would be a way to put it. Instead, you know, it's nothing special, but very well balanced. They got a decent offense. They got a very good defense. I think the Ravens, and this has been discussed all year with Belichick said it, didn't he? That the only people who can beat the Ravens is the Ravens?
And he's right.
I mean, that's
right.
It.
Yeah. North Carolina, Steve. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Earlier when I called because, Rob, you said that you're not necessarily saying you wouldn't renew Harbaugh's contract, but you all had questions. But all throughout the show, you talk about the bumbling errors that he makes game in and game out. How much more do you have to see from this guy to realize?
From Harbaugh?
Yes.
Oh, time out, Steve. I presented a conversation. If you're asking me personally, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't renew them. I presented the conversation to ask them the question to see what they were thinking. And a lot of times when I'm talking, I'm not giving you all of my opinion. I'm trying to open up a conversation. Now, if you're asking me personally, I've seen enough. I saw enough after the AFC Championship game, to be honest with you. You can't fire him then. But I saw enough. Now, the question is this, Steve. Let's say you're the general manager, and you make that call, and then you bring in somebody next year, and they go 8-9. Are you willing, are you ready to own that?
Well, of course, nobody's going to own anything anymore. But wait a second.
You're right.
Harbaugh's had a bad season before. But how, I mean, you know, he's lived a long life on this Super Bowl win,
yes,
which would say was just Flacco going on a tear, basically. And the stuff, I mean, I played for Mike Preston in high school, for God's sake. They would fire to him if he'd have done the stuff that Harbaugh does week in and week out. I mean,
you're trying to debate, but we have the same opinion. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm not debating with you. We have the same opinion of the man. Yeah, I mean, I think he misunderstood where I was coming from. I'm starting a conversation. That doesn't always tell you what my opinion is. Just start a conversation. Now, personally,
I'm the one, like, maybe you're in the, I think we're kind of similar. And Ed, you've been more of a Harbaugh guy than, if I'm putting words in your mouth, sorry, but you can correct me. But the fact of the matter is, like, you can't say he hasn't been a good coach. I just don't know that he's the right coach right now for this team.
Well, it just seems to be, we're not getting out of second gear.
Yes.
It's the problem. And I just think the team's too talented to be like this. And I look, they still have a winning record. They're still in it. But I know what my eyes tell me. This team's not winning a Super Bowl.
Something's not right.
Does anyone believe they're going to win a Super Bowl?
No, not right now.
Honestly.
I don't believe they're going to win a division.
I don't think they are either.
Herb in Columbia. What's up, Herb?
Piling on the same subject, you know, you had a game where a team doesn't score a touchdown. You have three turnovers. You have two missed field goals. The turnovers and the field goals are on the players. You have the most penalized team this year by far. That's a combination of the coaching and also the players. But I wanted to take a minute to look at the bigger picture here about Harbaugh. And because we have such a great organization, that's our Achilles heel.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I see as the problem. You have an owner, fantastic owner, who does not mix in. We have had two great general managers who have done a fantastic job drafting, making moves, managing the cap, et cetera.
Hey Herb, we got to run. So are you saying that Harbaugh is a product of a good organization?
He's a product of a great organization.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those two particular plays yesterday, Jeremy, I disagree with you. The one at the end of the half, if you're going to try to score, throw it 50 yards down the field. Don't throw it.
Hey, Herb, we got to run. But basically, what I said to you earlier today, you two, I think he benefits from someone who should have been a Hall of Fame GM, and Ozzie Newsom, he can't because you're already in the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. one of the game's best GMs, and an owner who lets football people do football. I think that's what he benefits from.
By the way, when you have 40-some seconds, 50 seconds, whatever, 30 seconds, and you have your timeout, you're not coming out throwing 50-yard bombs. If the guy's open, he's open. But usually what you're going to do, you're trying to get in field goal range in that situation.
To get down the field, yeah.
10 yards.
But you shouldn't have done any of that. You shouldn't have called a timeout.
To be fair, where they were, yeah.
Go in, and say we're up 7-6, but we play like dog crap. Let's go to Kai in Reisterstown. What's up, Kai?
Hey, I'm going to make it quick. I know Herb stole all my time. Look, very, very undisciplined team in big games. I mean, this becoming a norm with Mike Tomlin out coaching Harb. I mean, Tomlin made two or more crucial calls in the game, the timeout on the 2-point conversion, and he put Justin Fields in the game. That was a big move. He almost blew the game. I thought they got away from the run too early, Rob. As soon as Derrick Henry fumbled, he was in the Harbaugh doghouse.
Yep.
If I was coaching, I would have gave Henry the ball the
again.
Let him know that we still believe in you, man. Harbaugh just beat this. And then you want to talk about creativity? You could have put with Keaton Mitchell. He was active. Tylan Wallace. Where's the creativity on the plays where we need to bring them out in big games like this? Lamar should have ran more. He should have ran a few times. And you know, the move to change. But it felt like we was trying to be in this shootout for some reason. Why was we trying to be in a shootout instead of being in the grinded out type of game?
It's hard to be in a shootout guy when you only score 34.
I think Lamar should have run. Look at the times he had plenty of green in front of him and didn't run.
To be fair, though, the throw that he made to Zay Flowers, even though it was about 10 feet over his head.
Mm-hmm. It was the best throw. It was best play.
He's standing butt naked by himself. He just looks up like, who was that to?
Hey, and going back to the whole Derrick Henry thing, Ed, Derrick Henry fumbling that early game, that's when you go to the big man and say, come on, you owe me one. We're coming back to you. You owe me one. That's when you really pepper him. But you owe me one.
You keep putting Justin Tucker back out there. I know you have another kicker, but you got to tell people you have confidence in him.
And then you send Derrick Henry out there thinking, all right, give me the rock. I fumbled. Give me the rock again.
But like,
you don't not damn him the ball.
The problem I have is you sit here and talk about fumbling. You know when someone's being careless. That's not him being careless. No. That's a great defensive play.
Great play.
So like it's the same thing. I did this when I was coaching basketball. If a kid made a mistake, I'm not taking him right off the floor. I'm not grabbing him. Oh, you know, they know what they did. You got to give them a chance to show you that they can screw it up again before they come out. And I'm not taking Derrick Henry out of the game if he fumbles three times.
One of the worst things you can do as a coach. Is it, and I've seen this before. I think probably we've all seen it playing football, you know, at a lower level. Somebody fumbles, somebody makes a mistake, you blow, you don't, you know, set the edge, and you're out. Like,
better be a big ass.
First time I've done that. You know,
you can't be mistake free. You can't. Making a mistake over and over and over, okay, you sit down. Let's go to Norman, who was in Odenton. What's up, Norman?
Good morning, gentlemen. Let me start off by saying that I appreciate all your perspective on the game. It's very intelligent. So here's what I have. You're welcome. With the Ravens talent pool, if you look at history and all the other teams and coaches, good coaches built dynasties off of the Ravens talent pool. You look at Bill Washington, 49ers. You look at, you know, this team built dynasties off of those coaches. And it's sad to say that the Ravens are missing out on a dynasty. This talent's missing out on a dynasty. We can have a dynasty with the talent pool that we have, but it all revolves around coaching. Y'all agree with that?
Yes.
Yes, Norman. We've been saying that pretty much the whole morning. We're not. This is not a I don't like him. This is, listen, man, it's just not right now. It's not a good team. You have the potential to be a great team, and we're not there. Bite me at 9 o'clock, but on the other side, the AFC North Report up next. On the Fan.
AFC North Report.
One time for the city.
The Browns.
My city. Get up on the land. Back.
Second down and 7. He pulls it in. Inside the 5 to the end zone. Touchdown, Taysom Hill.
That's courtesy of Fox. What's going on with those Browns, Jeremy?
Flush them. Flush the Browns. They stink. But we'll see this week as they we're going to need their help a little bit here as they get the Steelers this week coming up. Steelers start all their run through the divisional games. But that being said, this Browns team, I thought Jameis Winston going back to New Orleans was going to be a thing here. And all of a sudden they were going to jump out to this lead. They got it 14-14. And that was it. They didn't do anything else. You got to look at the other side to see what the Saints were doing, a bunch of big plays that they had in the past game, including MVS. Where the hell did he come from? I thought it's a ghost of Marquez Valdes-Scantling as he's bounced around the league after the Packers and nobody wanted him. So this Saints team is doing themselves a disservice too, which I know some people won't understand this, by winning football games because they should be picking in the top 10. They're probably going to pick up a few W's and screw themselves out of a nice draft pick. But here we are, a lot of bad teams, and those are two of them.
Yeah, very bad teams. The one was an upstart team at the beginning.
But that's when they were good, is when they started up.
Yeah, then they stopped. Let's go to the other team in Ohio, the Cincinnati Bengals.
The Bengals.
Who they think they're going to beat them Bengals?
How do I do it? I don't know. Ask Zach. Ask the coaches. Don't ask me. That's not my job. I play football on the field. I don't call plays for us, you know, so I can't really do nothing.
Jamar Chase is getting a little disgruntled in Cincinnati.
Was that Jamar?
Yes, Jamar.
That didn't sound like him.
That was Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
He's just mad because he said something you don't like. He's trying to protect him. That didn't sound like Jamar.
No, no, no.
Cat Williams.
No, I'm saying.
White people defending their friends.
I'm saying. I'm saying his
he
voice.
He didn't do it.
His voice.
You see the video.
Jamar cries all the time.
Him. It's AI.
Jamar brings it up all the time when he's complaining about things, but that didn't sound like his voice.
They were down 24-6 at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
They come roaring back. Get back into this game. Make it 20-27 at the end of the third quarter. Then they scored a tied up, only to have the Chargers come back and win this game. They are now 4-7 on the year. And I just saw them on NFL Network. They did a thing about them, said gone fishing. Season is over.
See ya.
Man, I mean, Joe Burrow, 356 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. I'm telling you right now, if they were 7-4, he'd be an MVP candidate.
They have the number one receiver in football. They have the top quarterback passer for quarterbacks in football right now, yardage-wise. They have the sack leader, and they're not going to be in the playoffs.
Chase Brown ain't bad either. He ain't brown. He ain't bad at me. Man. 410-583-1057 is the number. AFC North Report. Ed Norris. Neither one of us, Jeremy and I, wanted to do this team. You can do them. Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Steelers.
It starts with belief in self, individually and collectively, and there's no shortage of that. And then those guys just lock in during the course of the prep week, man. And you know, they realize that these big games are oftentimes defined by how you work. And so, you know we're going to have an edge in bowls like that on days like today. And so we got to have an edge on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and they do. And that gives us a real chance.
Sure does. And it's funny. I find this team very interesting as to where they sit right now. They're middle of the pack on offense. They're like middle in points scored, a little below the middle of the NFL as far as yards per game. So that by definition, they're very mediocre on offense. Defense is different. Eighth in yards allowed, second in points given up. So they have, you know, obviously a very good defense, but a very mediocre pedestrian offense. Yet somehow, only the Chiefs, I find this real hard, but the Chiefs, the Lions, and the Bills have a better record in the NFL than the Steelers. And those are all the teams that you're looking at for the Super Bowl. So you're talking about the three teams people think the odds-on favorites to go to the Super Bowl this year have better records than the Steelers. And it's only because they've had a bye, right? Because the Bills have one more win, but same number of losses. So it's not like, you know, they're behind them. But the one constant, as we always do, you look at constants for the Ravens, what's the one thing that's common? I'll tell you, what's the one thing that's been common to the Steelers all these many years? Mike Tomlin. He gets the most out of these guys. I don't think they have nearly the talent that the Ravens have. Got a better record. Too fewer losses. Mm-hmm. Just beat them yesterday. Beat their ass. Somehow. I don't get it.
You're good.
You're good.
You're good, Steelers. You.
Yeah, you are that guy. Nah, he's good. He really, I think he's a real good coach. And somehow they're sitting on top of this division, and the Ravens are looking up at them. And two more losses.
Can't believe it.
Yeah, me either.
Whose idea was to book him, by the way, for Preakness, knowing this is Baltimore?
Who?
Mr. Black and Yellow here.
What, the year that he came in?
Yeah.
Or is he, he's not coming in this year.
No, right? It was a couple years ago. Yeah. But I was like, this is like the Steelers theme. Like,
yeah.
Really?
They had a couple other hits, right?
No, this was the year it came out. It was like, this was the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was fresh. It was on the charts at the time. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Let's go out to Ed in Towson. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good. Where you been, man? Where you been?
I'm good. I'm chilling. So, look, I saw, because remember I've said this before, that I heard this from a guy that mentored me and is in the Hall of Fame, and he used to tell me all the time, and I've said this a million and one times, that prior success is the greatest enemy of change. You've heard me say that before. What that means is you can be doing really well, and you can't see what you're not doing well. And I saw that. I peeped that out in an interview for Mike Tomlin. Mike said, you know, he was giving his little, you know, things, and he said, we like number 8 going to the left. And when he said that, I thought, okay, if you see that, how come we don't see that? And you got to see it before the people that are scouting you see it. You must see the things that you don't do well. When Lamar rolled to the left and to the bounce, now, I mean, I don't see him think about, I don't know about tapes. You see more tapes than I do to see how much he scrambles to the left. I mean, he scrambles everywhere, but how much he scrambles to the left and throws to the right. It's a difficult thing to do. But in that scenario right there, and that's it's everybody's culpable in this situation. But in that situation right there, you have to put him in a position. If you're going to scramble him left, you must know, okay, he's a little more uncomfortable going this way. If Tomlin sees it, you got to see it. So what you have to do is give him options. That's a rep thing. When he made that move, Rob, you got to give yourself options. You're on the 2-yard line, you got to give yourself options. So if I'm going to shorten the floor on this side of the court, Rob, I got to have people on the back side of the court that are ready to catch the ball for the 3-point shot.
You're right, Ed, because if I'm on a 2-yard line, my option is Derrick Henry going to get into the end zone because Pat Ricard knocked 3 people out, or because Derrick Henry did it himself? That's my only option there. That's my only option. Ain't no options. Option, you erase options when you sign a Hall of Fame running back who's still running like a Hall of Famer. You erase options. Give him the ball. You erase options when you re-sign a 300-pound fullback. Why am I here, coach? We're on a 2-yard line for a game-changing 2-point conversion, and I'm sitting on the side. Why am I on the sidelines right now, coach?
For the division.
They pay me to do this. Man.
We're keeping your carries down, so you're well rested.
No, he's keeping it for his pass catching skills.
Mm-hmm. Let's go around the NFL picking out MVPs at 9:15, but on the other side, bite me.
Really?
Yeah, on the fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.